mercies. In thy word, what endless glory shines. Forever be thy name adored for these celestial lines. 111. When we see some of the younger people coming on to appreciate, have opened eyes to see something of this glorious deposit of truth that has been passed down to us. And so would you pray this afternoon that he may be strengthened and blessed as he ministers the word to us, and that we may be blessed through his ministry. Our brother, Mr. Winston, let us speak.
Thank you, Mr. Allen, for that. Welcome this afternoon. It really is a pleasure and a privilege to be here to open up God's Word to each one of you. Well, coming along a few weeks ago, and Mr. Allen asked me to take this meeting, and realizing too that this was an anniversary meeting, I thought that perhaps a suitable subject would be consider. Doing mathematics, one has to consider problems. And you and I here this afternoon have to consider other problems. We hear the report of the work and we think over it, see what its position is, its prospects and its progress. But I thought that this afternoon we might direct our attention, first of all, to consider him, the one who made it at all possible. And then perhaps we could consider one another, consider ourselves, and the one that was included in the reading tonight, consider what the Apostle Paul says, so that the Lord may give understanding. So first of all, shall we turn to Hebrews chapter 3. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 1. Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus. Now it is one thing that I've realized since coming into the truth of the mystery and right division, that we notice to whom the letters are addressed. Now here in particular, we realize that it's to the Hebrews, and you and I are Gentiles. And yet, it is a liberty that we enjoy, that similarities don't make an identity, but where there's a parallel, you and I can gain to our advantage. So here we can take a thought. Wherefore, in view of all that's gone before, what a wonderful picture the apostle had penned of the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who sat down at the right hand of God, having completed the work which was given him. Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Jesus. The apostle and high priest. Yes, indeed, the Lord Jesus was the greatest apostle, the sent one. And John's Gospel gives us these two characteristics together. He's preeminently the sent one in John's Gospel, and right through the first 13 chapters, he's doing the work. An apostle is one that's sent, and one that's sent with something to do. And even the Apostle Paul realized that, so that when the Lord had ascended on high and gave gifts unto men, which included apostles, here was another order with another message, and how thankful we are that we've realized that the clue to the present ministry is the second ministry of the Apostle Paul. Consider the apostle and, of course, the high priest. The high priest who intervenes on the behalf of men to God. The Lord Jesus was the sent one from God to man, but he also ascended up, having made an offering of himself, and it was accepted. But there was one other thing we realized too, that a priest only comes up into the picture when Israel as a nation are in view. You and I can have something which includes these two titles, and yet more beside, in Christ as head. The head of the family officiated to do the service of God until the priests were made. Job made the offering. The head of the family in Egypt, they were not priests, but they had that privilege. And so you and I can look at this this afternoon and say, well, I can consider the sent one, the Lord Jesus, and the one who went back to God, of which the latter portion of John's Gospel deals. He brings them together in John 16, where he says, I came from the Father, and I go to the Father. There we have the twofold office of the Lord Jesus. But one thing that we'd like to bring to your attention is, how are we to consider that sent one? I've learnt that wherever we find a similar occurrence of the same word, it perhaps throws light upon it. And the next time we read in the same epistle, we say, consider one another with a view to love and good works. So we can look to ourselves and say, how can I produce love and good works in one another? And that similar process, we're asked here to do the same of the apostle and high priest. How needful it is for us to look at one another and see where our failings are, what our gifts are, so that we can produce love. Love, that one of the characteristics which the Lord should say, men shall know that you are my disciples if you show love one to another. Not the sentimental, passing love of the world, but the love which puts God first, the neighbor second, and ourselves last. The love which we read of in John 3, the love of God. Yes, that goes so far that he gives up his only begotten Son. What a wonderful tribute we can have, that we have been given the Spirit, not of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. So you and I will have to look and see what is needed to produce love in one another. It's so hard when men are bickering, fighting within one another. But when we've realized the secret to produce love, let us consider him in the same way. And also, not only love, but good works. How many times the Apostle Paul would have to remind his hearers about this good work. Maybe it is because they were not saved out of good works that we tend to neglect them after. But writing to Titus, the Apostle Paul could say, be careful to maintain good works. How needful it is today. If men are going to see that we've been with the Lord Jesus, that we are epistles read of men, we're going to be living examples, you and I have to be full of good works. So let us be careful to maintain them. How are we going to do it? Well, consider. And in the same way, let us consider the apostle and high priest. Or as we take it to its step, which brings it closer to us, consider the head, the Lord Jesus, he who was made head that he might fill all things. The consideration here, it has to be like when Abraham considered his own body, now dead. God had given him a promise that he should produce us a child. He looked at himself and realized he was past of age. He had realized that the flesh was no avail to effect God's promises. He considered it and realized too that God's promises are his enablings. You and I have something here, surely that will encourage our hearts this afternoon as we think about these things, as we concentrate our attention upon him. He is the one that needs all the glory, all the praise. These hymns we've been singing this afternoon have been an expression of our hearts, of what we think about the Lord of life and glory. The one, as we shall look into shortly, who thought it not a thing to be grasped at, to be on equality with God, but humbled himself, became obedient unto death. Yes, that even the death of the cross, such a step. And yet he did it not for his own sake, but for you and I. And the example left to those Philippians, you and I shall take to ourselves. So then we must consider him. But when we go along the epistle to the Hebrews, the next mention we come of consider is in reference to Melchizedek, the one who stands out uniquely as the king and priest. And yet he says, consider how great this man was. Consider how great. Not sufficient now just to consider the person, but to realize how great and magnificent a person our Savior really is. He's to be there. And the word comes over when he's talking to his disciples, and he's saying that he's going to leave them. And he says, you won't behold me much longer, but yet you will see me. But I must leave you in order to send the Comforter. The disciples will be thinking about his work. They were a spectator of the Lord Jesus. They walked with him. They talked with him. And now he tells them he's going to leave them. I wonder what they will look for mostly, that they'd have to remember after he'd gone. The different things that he spoke about, the different ways he walked, they'd have to watch and scrutinize now the little details which we take so much for granted when a person's present, which we realize how much they meant when they're absent. Here the Lord Jesus speaks to his disciples and tells them he's going to leave them. How much closer now would be the look. They would look to him maybe as John saw him as he looked upon Jesus as he walked, and he exclaimed, "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." Here was John the Baptist looking upon Jesus as he walked. Do you look upon Jesus as he walks? As he walks, heaven as it may be, as he's working upon our behalf, interceding for our prayers, how thankful we should be that you and I have the faculties to consider these things. Looking unto Jesus. Peter writing, he could say, "We see him." We don't see him now, but we will see him. And the Apostle Paul in Hebrews here, we can say, "We see Jesus, crowned with glory and honor." What a prospect. How do we see him? Do we see him as the lowly Nazarene, or just as the carpenter's son, or do we see him as he is? He really is the head of the church, which is his body, and you and I are members, joints and bands supplying energy. What a wonderful picture that should be. So let us consider the Lord Jesus Christ and consider his greatness. In Matthew, he could point and say, there's a greater than Jonah here. There's a greater than Solomon here. How great do you think the Lord of life and glory is? He's greater than Moses. He's greater than Aaron. And when you consider how great this man is, Melchizedek, the king and priest, yet how much more is the true king and priest, the Lord Jesus himself, the one who is touched by the feeling of our infirmities, the one who knows our every weakness. That is the greatness which he wants to, you and I, to ascribe to him. And then we go on and we realize that if we're going to produce love and good works, it's by considering one another. Consider one another. The example of Christ comes over. If we're going to have a hope which is going to be realized, and a prize which is attached to that hope, you and I will have to consider one another far more closely. We come now into a realm where loss and gain is at stake. The Philippians were given an example. Christ said, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." He tells us to look not every man on his own things, but look every man on the things of others. And that great mighty stoop that the Lord Jesus Christ took from the heaven's glory to this scene of sin, only that he might take you to be in the highest place. You and I shall have to consider one another, which then leads to consider thyself. Galatians chapter 6. Perhaps we could turn to that. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 1. "Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if a man think himself to be something, then he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. But let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone, and not in another. For every man shall bear his own burden. Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things." Now here we're using a different word again for consider. Here it's the word that's used in Philippians to speak of the mark of the prize. There's a goal in view. If you and I are going to approximate anything to a prize, we'll have to consider one another just to see how we can help them, and we'll have to consider ourselves, lest we be proud. Here is the warning. Considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Oh, we've got to have the inward look. Because we've got to be, if we're going to consider the Apostle and high priest, we've got to consider the mote that is in our own eye before we cast out the beam that is in the brother's. Here is a similar circumstance, dealing with a spiritual fault, and we're all faulty. And yet, we should seek to dispose of those faults. Those that are spiritual should seek to restore such an one. But how it cuts. When we point the finger at someone, we realize that there are four fingers already pointing back at yourself. Consider thyself. And so we find that why we do this, we've got to be careful. The same word is used in Romans 16. Mark those that cause division. How the children of God are robbed in a group of believers because of division. The words of Psalm 133 come back. How good and pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. The very antithesis of division. Wasn't that the source of trouble at Corinth? Where men were saying, I'm of Paul, I'm of Apollos, I'm of Christ. Division, it soon comes in. You and I, who are striving to rightly divide, realize that there's a wrongly dividing. But here we're dealing with something which you can't map it out in pen and ink, but it's there, inherent in the walk of the believer, causing division. And the practical section of the Epistle of Romans, he's not writing to correct any error. He's giving them solid doctrine. He's assuming that there's a dissenter in the midst. And he comes over with an emphasis, God forbid. But when he comes to the practical things, he's got to warn. And he says to those believers at Rome, mark those that cause division. They're enemies of the cross. And you and I should keep our eyes open to those that would cause division, those that would harm and mar the testimony, and deal with them spiritually, as Galatians 6 advises us to. And of course, when we realize we have to deal with those that gainsay the doctrine, you and I have got to walk worthy of a calling which asks us to withstand the gainsayers, and also win them. If you and I are going to win someone, it's no use using a negative argument. We must get down to their position and see from their standpoint and see that we can convince and convert the gainsayers, because there's a prize in view. We've got to press on towards that mark of the prize which is in Christ Jesus. How are we going to walk worthy of it? Only by consideration. Only by considering ourselves, one another's, and the foremost, that he might have the preeminence, the Lord Jesus. Looking upon him, how he walked. Remember that Peter, when he looked at the Lord Jesus, he writes us in his letter, and he says, he did no sin. Neither was any guile found in his mouth, but when he was tempted, He suffered not. He just committed himself unto him that judges righteously. How often are the judgments of people unfair? How often do we have to deal with things just on the surface? Yet God, who knows their heart, understands. But it'll all come in if we just consider. If we concentrate our attention upon. If we be contemplate it mentally. And we find a very encouraging word in Hebrews chapter 12. The only occurrence of another word for consider. And it is, consider him, lest ye be weary and faint in your heart. Isn't it a wonder that the Lord Jesus is there as our example? And we can consider him, lest the way become too weary. Lest the prize seem too far distant. Yes, we can consider him. We can compare ourselves with the Lord Jesus. Remember in 2 Corinthians, we all beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord shall be changed from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. As we look to Him and we look back to ourselves, we see what's wanted, we see what's missing, and then we can perhaps supply the difference. The Lord will enable us. And then we want to consider what I say, the Lord says to Paul. Paul is inspired, speaking God's word. And he's just given that threefold example which we read together to Paul. A private letter. And Timothy's got to be benefited by it. He gives them the example of the soldier not being entangled with the legitimate things of this life, that he might please him who has chosen him to be a soldier. He shows the athlete, the one that can't be hindered by excess clothing, the one that must run according to the rules in order to qualify. And he shows him the example of the husbandman, the partaker of the fruits. And he ends up and says, consider what I say, and the Lord shall give you understanding. Isn't that wonderful that you and I have given God-given faculties to consider these things? We're not at a loss. We're not like the nation whose mind is alienated, darkened, cannot think straight. But our mind has been renewed. Renewed. How do we exercise it? The promise of strong meat was to those whose senses are exercised. Those that use them to discriminate, to try the things that differ, to compare spiritual things with spiritual, to approve things that are excellent. They're all included in this word, consider. What are you doing? Consider the Lord Jesus, as He is our head. Let us consider ourselves, lest we be tempted and drawn away and enticed. Let us consider one another, to provoke unto love and good works. Let us consider all these things, and may the Lord give us understanding, that we might put it into practice, the things that we have learned. May the Lord bless the reading and the thoughts from His precious word. Amen.
Well, I'm sure you would wish me to thank our brother for his message this afternoon. One thing he has done, which is so fundamental, is to draw our attention to the position of the Lord Jesus Christ. Consider Him. And when we accord Him the rightful place, we've really done everything, haven't we? You remember Mr. Welch told us what they said about his ministry in America, that it was Christocentric. The Lord Jesus Christ was right in the center, right in the forefront. And there's one thing I think that our most bitter critics cannot say the truth, that we don't honor the Lord Jesus Christ, and we don't accord Him His rightful place, which is the first place. And so we just trust that each one of us may benefit, that we may indeed put Him in His rightful place, which is place number one, that in all things He might have the Creator. Shall we close by singing hymn number 105? Hymn number 105. Now blessed in heavenly places, in Christ at God's right hand, and filled with all His fullness, complete in Him to stand, sing to the praise and glory of Him who thus hath shown such gracious love and mercy to call us for His own. 105.
Oh,
gracious God and Father, we just raise our hearts in gratitude and thankfulness for all that Thou hast accomplished for us as a witness and for us individually. Now we pray to be with us in the interval between our two meetings. Do grant that our fellowship may indeed be sweet and profitable. We ask Thee to bless the food that we shall partake to the strengthening of our bodies. And then be pleased, we pray Thee, to come up with us again this evening. Bless and strengthen Thy servant. And again, we pray Thee through him, just minister the things of the ascended Christ, that we may be benefited, strengthened, and encouraged, and determined to go on loyally and faithfully with Thee and with this glorious gospel truth. We ask it for His sake.